This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good evening. You're on with Caroline and Uma on the Klang Valley's biggest conversation. You can call us 0377109000. You can text us on 0162019000. You can tweet us your thoughts at BFM Radio in 140 characters or less.
I'm just getting those numbers out there for you.
Because today we're going to be talking about something that's quite emotive. Over the last few weeks, there have been a bunch of stories that have come out. Most recently, on Friday, the Americans have downgraded Malaysia to the lowest ranking in the State Department's annual human trafficking report. That makes us a tier 3 country. Mm-hmm. We're right up there with the greats. North Korea, my friend.
Yes.
Zimbabwe, Saudi Arabia. And what it means is, as a tier 3 country, America can actually impose sanctions upon us.
Yes, it also indicates that we as a country have categorically failed to comply with the most basic international requirements to prevent trafficking and protect victims within our borders. Now, another report that came out on Sunday, we saw the story out of Nilay of how an immigration team had found a severely malnourished and physically handicapped teenager locked away in a unit. It was 15-year-old Muhammad Firdaus Dullah.
Yeah, he suffered from cerebral palsy. He was found covered in feces and urine. He was severely malnourished. He was wearing only a torn T-shirt.
Yes.
Now, both of these stories, while they, you know, have made the rounds a little bit in Facebook and Twitter and a little bit of the press,
They're still being investigated.
They don't, in my opinion, or at least they haven't yet, seem to gain the kind of public traction that I think is required, because both of these stories are really symptomatic of where we are as a society. Mm-hmm. Compound this with the domestic helper abuse cases, the foreign worker abuse cases,
yes,
all of that stuff that happens, and you are left wondering what has happened to us as Malaysians, as a society. Why do we allow this? Why do we close a blind eye to all of this, mm-hmm, right? Because we do, for the most part.
Yes, I mean, we do. You say we do for the most part, and yet it's made the round on social media. So we don't when it's at that level where it's sensational.
Exactly, because somehow, you know, we've done our click activism, clicktivism,
yes,
if you will, right?
Clicktivism.
Or clacktivism. I don't know, because that's, you know, I've done my part.
Yeah, I shared
I've shared the story.
Yes.
I've shown you an incredibly awful photo,
mm-hmm,
and I've made you feel bad for that for about 3 seconds,
yes,
before you click the next link to a Groupon deal.
Absolutely. Right? But, you know, is that what's actually happened? Is it all about our lack of compassion when we look at stories like these? I mean, do we put welfare, the welfare of others, at the bottom of the rung? Well, because it just doesn't matter. There are other things that are more important to think about.
Is it because they aren't, we don't see them as humans, in the sense that, oh, you know, they're not Malaysians.
Yeah.
They're foreigners.
Or some of them are Malaysians.
Or some of them might be Malaysians. Yes. But in the case of human trafficking, for example, we've heard stories of people being brought in from Thailand, from Bangladesh, from Nepal, from all over the world.
Yes.
And do we just not look upon them as the same level of human beings as we are?
Yeah, we received a text saying, so the haze is back, concerned human being.
Correct.
Yes.
Well, that too.
Yeah, we're concerned about the haze, but perhaps not about what we're talking about.
No, we don't care about other people. We just care about our own lungs, right? And yet we'll stand in the corner and smoke a pack a day. So call us on 0377109000. Text us on 0162019000. Tweet us at BFM Radio. And you know what? Prove to us that you care.
Yeah, the question is whether or not Malaysians lack compassion, you know, as a people. Is that where we are?
Stand by me, KI Theory, coming up after these messages on BFM 89.9. Good evening. You're listening to Caroline and Uma. It is Talk Back Tuesday. A reminder on those phone numbers, 0377109000 is the number to call. You can text us on 0162019000. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. We're asking you today whether as a people we lack compassion. Are we becoming more selfish as a society? Are we becoming less caring?
Yep. So a couple of texts that are rather depressing Peter says, we prioritise profit-driven activities and crass materialism. Yes, we've become a hard, compassionless society. Another one says, Asians generally lack compassion for others. That's why very few motorists choose to give way to people who signal that. You know, the thing is, we've always liked to sell ourselves as the caring community, the land of smiles.
Correct.
You know, folk who believe in filial piety. So what are we saying? That all that is over? It's a farce?
Well, I don't know if it was ever the case. Mm. I mean, you know, we compare ourselves with the other. We talk about the Americans and about the British as being brutish, for example, and less compassionate. But of course, that's not entirely true. We just like to make ourselves feel better by comparing ourselves with this stereotype or cliche, right?
Yes.
Meanwhile, I swear that most of the accidents on the road happen because of our own selfishness. Mm-hmm. We think our time is more important than someone else's time. That's why in a traffic jam, we'll go on the shoulder.
Well, Project Zeus says, compassion of a nation should start from how well you treat your animals. That's also not a clear indication.
Wow, well, don't even get us started on that, right? I mean, we've seen the number of stories that have come out and the absolutely abysmal enforcement and action taken upon perpetrators of torture.
Yes. I mean, we can't protect those who can speak for themselves, let alone those who can't.
Exactly. Yes. We have a caller. We have Michelle on the line. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. I'm just listening to your conversation, and it's actually very interesting to note that. So I had a similar conversation with my friend regarding to what's happening with mankind today, right, especially in Malaysia.
Right.
But I think a lot of us, right, especially those who are in their mid-20s right now, those who were born in the 80s. Mm-hmm. So it's not that we don't want to do something. It's that we don't have a channel to do something.
But so, Michelle, but there are so many channels that are available to us now. It's so easy to become not an activist, but to actually do something, don't you think?
Yeah, it's about the only way we can actually do something is actually one is your Facebook posting, two, talking to your friends about it, three, donations through monetary kinds or thing, but we don't actually know how we could actually make a change.
Yes, I mean, do you feel that those specific activities that you pointed out don't make enough of a change that you'd like to affect?
I guess people can't see how their contributions would definitely make an impact. People get tired. Like, for example, you keep giving donations to orphanages or to let's say animal shelter, right?
Yes.
Which is quite common these days where we volunteer ourselves and we give monetary in kind, but we don't actually see where our contributions go or how it would change in the long run.
But is that what it takes? You want to see a clear trail? I mean, do you not believe, to a degree, and you said this, I mean, it's something that you do you not believe that the discourse and just talking about it with your friends at the water cooler, for example, those sort of conversations actually make a difference?
Yeah, I think to me, it makes a lot of difference. But to a lot of people who have, let's say you work long hours, you work really far, you have kids to maintain, it becomes a secondary priority.
It becomes
tiring to them to continuously do it, and they don't see any change. Like, I think the tiredness, like people in Klang Valley especially, we see so many things going on.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about it, we hype about it, we fight about it, and then nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ask, okay, where can we do something about it now, which would then leave us at a standstill.
Right. All right, and I guess that can be quite frustrating as well. However, if you are calling in, tell us that as well. If you have engaged in certain activities to increase awareness on yourself, tell us what you've done and how you felt your little work has helped the bigger situation, right?
And if you haven't, or you know, you've just thought about it, like Michelle says, sometimes you know the realities of life come into play, and so you don't prioritize it; it becomes secondary. What's more important? Tell us on 03-771-09000.
We've got Irene on the line. Hi, Irene. What do you say? Have we become less compassionate?
Good evening.
I think generally we are a bunch of you know, people who are very compassionate. We have a lot of compassion.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that I speak for myself. These days, I find that it's becoming increasingly difficult to be compassionate. Maybe because there's just too many issues to deal with. We have too many things to reach out and help out on.
As in there are too many critical issues at hand?
Yes, too many critical issues at hand, as well as even if we want to do, and too many issues that are leading to fraud and so on and so forth. I give you a very clear example of a recent case where I I was driving and I saw a lady in distress on the roadside, you know.
Okay.
And a man was a motorbike, I think, was stopped by. And I genuinely wanted to go down and help her. I was afraid and fearful for my own life.
Yes.
Because I wasn't sure, you know, if it was a setup.
Yeah, there are scams like these going around, certainly.
Yes. So I think it's in all of us that we are compassionate, you know. But it's just that how do we draw the line not being victims ourselves? I think it becomes an increasing concern in today's society.
Right. Fair
Thank
enough.
You, Irene.
The environment doesn't allow for it.
It doesn't. You know what, Caroline? Yes. The other point she raised is very important as well. I think as members of a society, we need to also pick our battles. We can't fight every battle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because you have friends like this on Facebook, don't you, where every post is a completely different cause.
That's right.
And every time someone comes up to me and goes, oh, will you donate money for this or this? And I'm like, if I did all of that, I would have no money at all.
But therein lies the question, right? What do you prioritize?
I think what you're passionate about. So some people are really passionate about animal rights. And I'm like, you know what? That should be your role in life. If you feel that passionate about it, go forth and champion animal rights.
I don't know whether it should be a zero-sum game like that.
I don't know. Really, man, if you donate 50 ringgit to every cause, Caroline, you will have no money at the end of the month.
Agreed.
I'm just saying.
Agreed.
Indra on the line. Hi, Indra. What say you?
Hi, good evening. How are the two of you?
We're doing well. Thank you, Indra.
Okay, I say that the level of compassion in Malaysian society is dropping, and it's dropping badly. Just two clear examples. When there is a traffic jam and an ambulance is trying to pass through, nobody wants to give way. Now, I'm not saying, you know, I'm like Mother Teresa, no. If I signal left, the ambulance passes through. And when I want to get back into my lane, guess what?
Oh, you can't.
I can't.
Because everyone's got their hazard lights going and they're following behind the ambulance.
Yeah. What?
I don't know whether that's necessarily a reflection of how compassionate we are. Certainly a reflection of how poorly we drive.
Yeah, and I mean, you don't need to have a PhD in moral studies to know that is so rude.
Yes, indeed.
And another clear example, have you ever been in a parking lot and you just can't come out?
Yes, often, over the weekend at Mid Valley, but carry on.
At Mid Valley, okay, that's one example. Any place. Try and come out. Nobody will give you way.
All right. Well, thank you, Indra, for your calls. I mean, you know, she's absolutely right.
Yes.
It's dismal that, and yet again, it goes back to the selfish nature that my time is more important than your time.
Mm.
So you wait another 10 seconds because I have to go and find another parking somewhere else.
Yes. And I mean, are these realities of life overcrowding everything that you can't think of the bigger picture sometimes?
Because it's spilling over, right?
Yeah.
In that, you know, people complain that the media haven't given enough coverage to the idea that we're a tier 3 country when it comes to human trafficking.
Mm-hmm.
And on one side, the media doesn't do it because it's not sexy.
Mm-hmm.
They won't put it on the front page. One, probably because there's a certain amount of government pressure not to. But also because
you might not read it.
No, Malaysians will be like, okay, so I don't know what that means. Who cares?
It's not exactly sexy clickbait.
No, it's not unless it happens to your child, right?
Yeah.
Then it's going to be an issue. We've got Sean on the line.
Hi, Sean.
What say you?
We've lost Sean.
Oh, we've lost Sean. Okay, well, Sean, call back and we'll... Oh, hello, we've got Sean on the line. Hello, Sean.
Yeah. Hey.
Hi,
hey, Sean.
What say you?
Hi, Carla.
Hi.
I think that we Malaysians, we're compassionate over things that we know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things that are visible out there. For an example, the blind, you know, those on the wheelchair. But I think we've become less compassionate or, you know, being quite ignorant or less compassionate over things that we don't really understand. For example, you know, there's been a lot of issues on homeless people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people with mental illness and those sort of things, I think, we should really worry about right now. And I think these are the things that are making the headline. For example, the lady, we point fingers, you know, as Malaysians, instead of understanding, we tell this individual as if, you know, they were useless or as if they didn't study hard enough.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, instead of really looking back and, you know, something happened in their life.
Let's bring it back to that. Why don't we do that, Sean?
I don't know. I guess we... It's I think it's our society, you know, being very capitalist. I don't know. Maybe it's that, you know, needing to achieve things.
Then we're...
As soon as we screw up, it's a sign of weakness. It's a sign of you know, you not being at
successful
with the society standard.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's, for an example, the little child who had her head cut off quite recently.
That's right. Yes.
We point our fingers to the mother saying that it's a bad parent. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's unfair. And those are the sort of mentality that we shouldn't have. I mean, you're saying that a parent can't even go to the toilet or even, you know...
You don't want to live in a society where the parent has to watch every move for fear of getting her child getting her head cut off, right?
Exactly. I mean, you people make mistakes, right? Sometimes you laugh for about a minute or two. But are we made to pay for that mistake? You know,
Where do you think it starts, Sean? From the top, say, favorable public policy, or does it start at root level?
It's the root and the policy. You know, I mean, we've lacked those heroes in our society who would dare to stand up when things. I think there was something on your radio a while back about this guy that did how in public there's this. You know, someone got screamed and shouted at, and some dude just came out of nowhere and started becoming a hero and tell them to, hey, this is not right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's not mainstream. You know, that's underground.
No, it's not. People, the famous Malaysian, what, don't know, and just walk away, right?
I think it was that. Yeah, you had something on video. That was brilliant. And things like that, you know, that I think the government should promote. I think that sense of heroism, you know, it's just wanting to make things right. And like you said, you know,
All right, I'm sorry, Sean, you were breaking up there, but thank you. We get your point.
I think the lack of mentors, perhaps, and
the lack of heroes, right? The lack of heroes for the right reasons. We have capitalist heroes, mm-hmm. but we may not have the compassionate, moralistic, ethical heroes, right? That we're looking for. We've got Faisal on the line. Hi, Faisal. What say you?
Hi. I guess it's like when we talk about compassion, everyone has their areas where they feel more passionate to put their effort and time.
But right.
People who are kind of like a part of this, sometimes like when you're really passionate in these certain areas, you're really involved with organizations like to help and everything.
Yeah.
But in the end, you're just burned out with all the politics behind the organization itself.
Yes.
That at the end you just give up because it's like to do all of this you have to endure all the drama, the politics and everything. And in the end you just want to help people and you can't even do that anymore.
Yes, I mean that extends to I think even associations that deal with animals. You know, you just want to help animals. At the end of the day, you can't even do that because for the same reasons, things like politics within and so on.
Oh, sorry, Faisal. Oh, I think we lost Faisal. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, do you get involved and do you feel that whatever little you do is making a change, Faisal?
You sound tired, Faisal.
You sound tired. There's someone who's been there.
Yeah,
and
because for me, it's more like what I do is something that not a lot of people would like to. I'm involved with a lot of the HIV community.
Mm-hmm.
And with our program, most of it is like, the funding is not there. We do basically what we can do. It's like, but at the end, it's more about people who are a part of the community. It's more about them making it whatever money they want to make. Or
yeah, it feels as though we don't take it to the next level unless it's a personal situation.
A cause, yes. Right? Mm-hmm. Which is fine as well because I think that kind of personal experience does push people towards these efforts, and it means that they have a greater motivation to follow through.
But it also means that we don't achieve the critical mass.
That is also quite depressingly true. We're asking you today whether we have become more selfish as a society, whether we lack compassion and caring. This, of course, following the fact that we are now a tier 3 country with human trafficking. What that means is that we've categorically failed to comply with the most basic international requirements. It puts this on par with the great Zimbabwe, Saudi Arabia and North Korea, ladies and gentlemen. What a great list to be on, eh?
Pat on the back.
Call us on 0377109000. You can text us on 0162019000. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. We will be right back. Here is Keith Calm with the news. BFM 89.9. Good evening. You're on with Caroline and Uma. It's Talk Back Time. 03-771-09000. You can call us on that number. You can text us on 016-201-9000. You can tweet us at BFM Radio and tell us whether you feel we as Malaysians have become less compassionate, less caring. Are we just selfish?
Are we? Give us a call at 03-771-09000.
We've got Satish on the line. Satish, thanks for waiting. Hi. What say you?
Hey, no worries, man. But I think, Uma, I think you're wrong.
Okay. Malaysians, why is that?
Malaysians are very compassionate people. Mm-hmm. If not, you wouldn't have find so many people, you know, going on the streets, raising things up, going to prison for absolutely nothing, just for voicing out things and everything. Mm-hmm. But most importantly, I think people are fed up and they are afraid. That is the number one reason why.
What are they afraid of?
The policies, the government, the backlash they will have towards speaking out sometimes the truth.
Well, speaking out reflects someone who's passionate rather than compassion or the lack thereof.
Even if it's wrong to certain societies, like Isma and all these people, they are speaking on their behalf. Freedom of speech doesn't mean it's always about everything. I can speak something about my community, and it might be one-sided, though, but that's mm-hmm. freedom of speech also.
Yeah, but do you think then people are... the reason why people are fed up is because there is no action, and has that action led to a certain amount of selfishness?
Yeah.
The lack of action, rather.
Selfishness, Uma, I would say you're protecting yourself from certain things. I mean, like, for example, in my personal opinion, mm-hmm. if I see a robbery or if I were to see anything going on funny, or right. if even if there's something wrong with my neighbors, I'll be there calling out God for help and everything like that. But that is on a personal account. And but truth to be told is lately, what's happening in the media, I mean, I stopped reading. I stopped seeing videos from any news and all these things. It's just too much, and it's just kind of like it's stressing on a personal level.
Well, so, Satish, what will it take to move away from the inertia?
Avoiding the news.
All right.
Well, thank you very much, Satish. I guess. Yeah, there is a certain amount of boredom, ennui yes. that kind of settles in.
Yeah.
And then people become jaded because they keep hearing the same things. Like, so Caroline, for example, you know, one way to get people's attention is when you throw up a gory photo.
Mm-hmm.
We see a lot of that on social media, for example, with regards to animal abuse. Mm-hmm. But do you think that's the right approach? Because do you think now people just scroll past it because they're so jaded by it? Initially, I guess there's a shock factor, but now you're just trolling through that news feed, and a gory photo doesn't have the same impact it once did.
Well, to a degree, but you know, I feel that that's essentially window dressing. So, you know, you can you can put out there a gory picture, you can put, you know, really cute puppies and kittens up for adoption, that sort of thing, but it still doesn't move people away from the complacency that sets in. And sometimes when you're involved, you know, like an earlier caller said, when you're involved in such things, you get caught, you know, with the day-to-day, can't see the woods for the trees.
All right. We're asking you whether we're more selfish as a society. Satish thinks we are incredibly compassionate and disagrees with the fact that we've become more selfish as a society. Mm-hmm. What say you? We've got Sharon on the line. Hi Sharon.
Hi. Hi, guys. How are you?
Very
well.
Good.
Thank
so
you.
What do you say?
Very compassionate of you to let me wait.
Oh, sorry, man. Not too long, I hope.
No problem. Okay. The thing is that whenever I learn about self-defense, the mm-hmm. first thing I was taught is eventually keep yourself safe first.
Yes.
Whatever you do, let's say a robbery in front of you, try to avoid it, just call the police.
Yes.
Yes, please attend to yourself before seeing to others
yes.
under your care.
When that's the thing. Because when we look into the situation right now, where we are facing right now, people are acting in reaction of the situation around them.
Carry on.
So what happened? What happened was actually people are racing forward to secure themselves, so they don't have time to think about others other than themselves. We need money, we need everything to survive. So eventually, the law of this country is law of the jungle.
So you think, I guess, capitalism, this idea of our drive for progress and success has made it all about me.
Do you want to hear a story, my personal story, which made me famous on social media?
Oh, please, tell us. We love these social media stories.
Actually, on May the 5th, last month,
okay,
I went back from Putrajaya to Malacca. I stumbled across a man who's riding a bike with his daughter and his son.
Okay.
I approached them from Nilai. Eventually, I stopped and I asked them to stop, and I give them a lift for the son and daughter all the way to Aikro.
Okay.
I asked them, where are you from and where are you going? We are from Pasir Gudang. We are going to Sungai Buloh for a medical checkup.
Wow, okay.
All the way, nobody gave a damn about that guy.
You did.
I did. Even I saw a GPJ 4x4 passing by. They don't even bother about that person.
Wow. Well, good on you, Sharon. I mean, that's exactly the kind of activity we want people to do. I mean,
but
previous caller called up, the lady who called up and said, she was concerned to stop and help a woman who was stuck at the side of the road because she feared for her own safety, because we've heard of stories where people pretend to be stuck and then people jump out from behind the car and rob you and leave you naked in the middle of the road. That happens too.
Yes.
From
that story, it's clear that compassion is alive and well, but perhaps, in little pockets. And not enough for it to make a difference.
And how much human selfishness actually overrides compassion or the other way around?
Michael Cheng says, there's a lot of me, and little consideration for others these days. Basic manners also cannot get right. Talk back time.
You can call us on 03-77-109-000. You can text us on 016-201-9000. You can tweet us at BFM Radio and tell us whether you believe we're becoming more selfish, less caring as a society. You're listening to Talk Back Tuesday on the Evening Edition. We will be right back after a word from our sponsors. BFM 89.9.
Tweet, text, talk. Talk back on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. You're on with Caroline and Uma on Talk Back Tuesday. Call us 03-77-109-000. Text us 016-201-9000. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Tell us what you think. Are we becoming more selfish as a society? Have we become less caring? This, of course, on the back of two news stories that took place over the last week. One of involving the nation's status with regards to human trafficking. We're doing terribly. We're now a tier 3 country on track with Zimbabwe, Saudi Arabia, and North Korea.
We have an appalling record, essentially.
Appalling record. And, of course, the other one about a boy in a well-nourished boy in Nilai who was found in his own feces and urine. He was wearing only a T-shirt and suffering from cerebral palsy. He was locked in a room and no one seemed to care.
Yeah, that's right. So we're asking you today whether or not, as a people, we lack compassion. And is that what it takes? We don't like to say who's to blame, but, sometimes you do have to point the finger. However, Matt Yu from Nilai says, why does the lack of compassion always have to relate to government policies? Let's see the whole PDRM go on leave for one day and then you'll see.
Well, I agree with that, actually. Mm. A lot of the conversation does get pushed back to a top-down approach. Meanwhile, today we're asking you the exact opposite. It's what are you doing as an individual, as a citizen? What are we doing as a society, as a caring community, as a village, right? Mm. And you can't just blame the government for everything. You have to take some responsibility upon yourself. If you want to see society better, then step up to the plate and do something about it.
Well, there is that. But if you do feel that that needs to be on the agenda when it comes to government policy, do call us as well and tell us why.
That's right. 03-77-109-000, 016-201-9000 to text and tweet at BFM Radio. Caroline, when it comes to, I think, animal rights, we've done a lot of shows on BFM, on the Evening Edition, with regards to the abuse of animals, with regards to the way, and even with regards to the enforcement of it. So what happens to a person who abuses and tortures animals?
Yes.
Because it's nothing,
yes.
Right? You can get like a minor fine. I don't think you even go to jail.
No, I mean, they've done something about that. They've increased the fine as well as time in jail, but whether or not that's enforced and looked at seriously in the court of law...
And whether it's enough.
Whether it's enough is still up for a debate. So some texts that have come in. One says parents are the main culprits as they're the leading cause of children with wrong values. They shape children's thinking. Well, Jeremy also says it's also a matter of compassion, sustainability. Any campaign or initiative of goodwill lasts only as long as the hype and the hurrah, and then it's quickly forgotten the next day.
We've got Ruben on the line. Hi, Ruben. What say you?
Hi, Uma. Hi, Caroline.
Hi.
I just want to... talk about a few things, but the first thing is like someone messaged and messaged or called, I can't remember, and said that why is it always come down to government policy?
They tend to text.
Reason why.
Right.
Here's the reason why.
Right.
There was a lady who called in earlier and said that she wanted to stop, but she didn't stop because she feared for her own life. And the reason she fears for her own life is because we cannot trust our own law enforcement. So that is why it all goes back to government policies. I mean, at the end of the day, we can say that we don't want to blame anyone, but this is a top-down problem.
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. And number two, based on talking about the media, why Malaysians have become, you know, less empathetic. I don't like to use the word sympathetic. I think people should be empathetic.
Yes.
That's because the media keeps desensitizing these things.
Mm-hmm.
You see it in the media. People put pictures, gory pictures, and people become desensitized to it.
Yeah.
So much so that after a certain period of time, it doesn't affect you anymore.
Yeah.
And we're responsible for that too, right, Ruben, with the kind of photos we share on Facebook?
Yeah, exactly. Because when you share a picture of an African child who's dying of starvation, and you say, no, give a like, and, you know, it doesn't make a difference. It just, those things don't make a difference. All it does is desensitize people.
So the like essentially doesn't save a life. What's the best way to go about it then, Ruben, in your opinion?
My opinion would be to go and volunteer your time. Stop sharing photos on Facebook. Nobody benefits from those. There are so many organizations that, you know, go out and help the poor. Somebody mentioned about visiting prisons. I do that in my free time.
Mm-hmm.
So there are so many people who need your help. Stop being on social media, sharing things that don't benefit anybody. Get out there, go and join an association. There's so many people who spend so much of their time helping the poor and the needy. Mm-hmm. Go and join them. Go and do that. Because you can't, I mean, as much as we'd like to blame the government, yes, they are at fault too, but hey, guess what? We are at fault too. If you sit at home and all you do is be on your laptop and on Facebook and on social media and you keep complaining and complaining and complaining and you don't do anything.
It just doesn't change.
You're perpetuating
the myth.
Yeah, so there you go. A passionate call to action from Ruben.
That's right. I'm pumping my fists in the air, Ruben.
He doesn't look very sexy, but he is doing it.
Thank you. I try. that's a very pertinent point raised by Ruben. Give up your time. Even if you don't have any money to give, you know, if you can't donate hordes and hordes of cash, you can donate a little bit of your time and it goes a long way. And while that's been on the increase, you know, we see more and more NGO and civil society groups being set up to address issues that are even, you know, that are further and wider than ever before, that haven't ever come up in Malaysian discourse. It's happening. It's been happening over the last decade. I think it's still not enough,
and
right?
That being not enough, and does it always have to be on such a large scale? A message came in saying, I always find smiling to people you open the door for, saying good morning to people, hiking down the hill or in the lift or when you're hiking up, saying sorry to people who say sorry to you and always saying thank you. These are my favorite things. And I suppose, you know, these small things do make a huge difference.
They do, because they instill within you a sense of common courtesy and looking out for your fellow man that leads to bigger things, right? And the lack of it will lead to down a slippery slope.
That's right. At Shannon Chow tweets and saying, well, one can always share the good stuff on social media, i.e. help spread awareness of a meaningful project, for example.
The good stuff is just as important as the bad stuff. And I think that's a point that we really should make. You know, sharing what Ruben said earlier about us being desensitized and jaded to those images, it's something we brought up earlier in the show. Yeah, but the good stuff is just as important, because that hopefully will inspire you and motivate you to follow in the footsteps of someone who is doing good.
Yeah.
Right? So call us, 0377109000. You can text us on 0162019000. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. First, though, Billy Joel, It's Still Rock and Roll to Me on BFM 89.9. Good evening. You're on with Caroline and Uma. It is Talk Back Tuesday. The number is to call, 0377109000. You can text us on 0162019000. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. We're asking you today whether we as a people, as Malaysians, lack compassion. Are we becoming more selfish as a society?
And the answers so far have not been very positive.
No, and okay, so this news story has just come over the wires, right, as of 7:02. And this kind of reinforces this notion of what Ruben said, that there is something so flawed in the system that leads us to be the society we are. Now, a lorry driver was sentenced to 1 month's jail by a magistrate court here, which is in KL, after he pleaded guilty to stealing 3 packets of Milo worth 53 ringgit in a supermarket.
Right.
Okay. Now, the lorry driver was a single parent. He had taken the items without paying for them before being chased by a guard while trying to escape. He was injured in the face when he was rammed by a car while trying to escape and was later arrested by the police. Now, this happened yesterday.
Right.
He was sentenced today. Talk about quick justice, right, being served. Meanwhile, there are people in the country stealing billions on a day-to-day basis. And that's justice for you. So there is something in the system that is incredibly flawed that punishes, you know, a single parent who is trying to, that puts a single parent, not the punishment, he shouldn't be stealing. I completely disagree with the fact that he's stealing. However, the system placed him in that situation that forced him to steal.
And in your opinion, that is an indication of the lack of compassion?
It is an indication of the lack of, I guess, what we're becoming as a society,
right,
in that we don't seem to be looking after our own.
Right.
So much so that they be put in the situations that lead them to be punished by the courts and by the law.
Yeah, which is also indicative of the story that came out on Sunday out of Nilai, how the immigration team found a severely malnourished and physically handicapped teenager locked away in a unit. He was found covered in filth, severely malnourished, wearing only a torn T-shirt.
Mm. We've got Victor on the line. Hi, Victor. What say you?
Hi, good evening.
Good evening. Good evening.
We still remember MS370, do we?
Some of us do, yes.
Okay. So in that case, I think we found out that that there are 2 Iranians using KL as a transit.
Correct.
To go illegally to this German.
Yes.
So talking back about this, Tier 3, this rating by the US.
Yes.
I don't think we have any complaint, really, because it just shows just one case, then you pick up two people individually using KL as transit point.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, talking about this human trafficking, I think there must be much more, I mean, done in an organized way.
Oh, I'm sure there are, as in because of the lack of security and checks.
Yes. So, talking about this compassion and all that, I think compassion and bigotry, they cannot coexist. So nowadays, I think we see more and more bigotry around, and then we see a lot of bigots who are in power. So I think the ideal of this bigotry-free Malaysia of BFM, I think, is still a far way off.
Yes, well, you know what's amazing, Victor? That, you know, you can make the link no matter what it is we choose to talk about. It always goes back to corruption, bigotry, the big ones.
This is turning out to be a far more depressing show than I had predicted.
I know.
But we've got Krish on the line. Hi,
Krish.
What say you?
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good.
Well, thank you.
What do you say? Are we less caring? Are we more selfish?
Actually, I want to refer to the one where you're referring about government policies just now.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. This is just something that I experienced in my college life.
Yes.
Last year, we had a project in my college called Project Rebuilding Hope under Teach for Malaysia.
Oh, yes. Right? Okay.
Okay, so one of the things we did was we went to this school and then we worked with the school. It's in Klang, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And we sponsored 5 of their classes. We painted their classes, put new chairs and tables in their classes and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing about this is we found out during our this campaign that actually how our government works is that they have a few bands, apparently from band 1 to band 6, saying yes. that, you know, the schools which perform excellently, they get more budget,
yes.
you know, and those who perform poorly, they get less budget.
Correct.
So this school is one of the poor schools, and they get very little budget.
Right.
So their whole budget for the year, if I'm not mistaken, was 20,000. And for us to sponsor the 5 classes with proper lights, tables, chairs, and paint and clean up the whole thing was 20,000.
Right.
So 5 classes alone, 20,000 for a whole school. Do you think it's enough? So that's one of the issues with our policies right now. We are focusing more on, you know, who's the focusing on the, you know, on survival of the fittest. That's how it's going right now. So that's the main problem with our policies and everything.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you very much. That's a very interesting take. So what Krish is saying is that, you know, if they are underperforming and you give them too little money, then they're going to continue underperforming because they're not given the resources they need to up their game.
And and that's because our policy isn't based on compassion?
Well, no, because our policy is based purely on performance.
Right.
So if you have put out the right grades, you get more money, and then you continue to put out the right grades again.
Right.
So, you know, I guess a more equal distribution of wealth when it comes to getting people to perform better, maybe that's an option. Mm. You know, one thing that Krish did point out, of course, you know, there are Malaysians doing hard work every day. He mentioned Teach for Malaysia. That's an incredibly good cause. You know, we have people like the Women's Aid Organization, Suhakam, a whole bunch of people on a day-to-day basis that are very compassionate, very caring, and are doing good work.
Yes.
But we're asking you today about everyone else. And as a society, do you feel that level of compassion and caring about these, well, in inverted commas, fringe issues has fallen by the wayside? Mm-hmm. What do you say? Call us on 03-771-09000 or text us on 01-620-19000. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We've got Suresh on the line. Hi Suresh. What do you say?
Hi. So sad to hear so many people like this. But
very disappointed. Yeah, I know. What do you say there?
But I just want to say is, I want to tell a story about something that is a bit more uplifting. What we do is that we have a few friends of us that what we do is that whenever we had a free time, at least once a month, we will go and feed the people in the streets. We don't have so much money, so we just maybe about 50 packets of rice, and we just go around and we just walk around Lorong Haji Taib, Central Market,
right.
Wherever we can, we just go and give. It doesn't matter if you look okay or you don't look okay. As long as you're hungry, we just give you the bag of food and a drink. That's all we could do. So we just do that.
And how long have you been doing this, Suresh?
We've been doing it for maybe about a year or so.
And it's all self-funded by you and your friends?
Yeah, it's just self-funded. It was my friend's idea. It's not my idea, but we all wanted to chip along and do whatever we can.
Oh, well, thank you very much for calling in with that story, Suresh. That's it's a nice uplifting story, you know. It goes to prove that you don't need a lot of money. You don't need much money. It's just about giving what you can.
And whether or not enough people are doing it, I guess.
That's right. We're asking you whether Malaysians are more or less as caring as a society. You can call us and tell us what you think at 03-771-09000 or text us on 01-620-19000. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We will be right back after a message from our sponsors, BFM 89.9. Good evening. You're on with Caroline and Uma. It is Talk Back. You heard the man. You know the numbers to call. We're asking you today whether we as Malaysians have become more selfish as a society. Are we less caring? We've got Julia on the line. Thank you for waiting. Julia, what say you?
Hi, good evening.
Good evening.
So, I think it starts with the person.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that when people are generally more happy and more content with themselves or their immediate environment,
mm-hmm.
it's that mindset that makes you more
generous, perhaps.
Exactly. And my reservation with arguments that say it's a structural thing, it's that perhaps the government's not doing enough or leaders aren't doing enough to create that safeness for us. I think in other countries where people are, I mean, in other developed countries, like, for example, in the top of my head, like Norway, it doesn't necessarily mean that people are much happier.
Yes.
Right.
So I think at the end of the day, it's also the environment that you create for yourself. So it's, I believe it starts with the person. And callers before me were talking about, and I was really happy to hear that they were saying that it's all about smiling and being courteous to other people. So that's just my take. And I just wanted to uplift the mood a little bit because...
Well, thank you. Much appreciated because, as you can tell, we are incredibly depressed.
Yes.
And I don't believe that. I think that we can always find a silver lining in a lot of things. And I do believe that Malaysians are pretty happy and generous people. And I experience it on a daily basis. And it's those moments that we need to, like, focus on as opposed to the negative stuff.
A ray of optimism. Much appreciated.
Well, thank you, Julia.
Very
thank you for
much,
your call.
Julia. Mr. Faye says, it could be said vice versa. If people care more, the government will be pressured to make better public policy. Chicken and egg situation, perhaps.
Oh, well, actually, yeah. I think he's absolutely right.
Is it she?
Well, I think she's absolutely right because the audience is as important as the product, right? Mm-hmm. So the audience needs to be calling out for greater... policy, for greater effect, for greater action.
Sleepless in KL tells us what the audience is calling out for. He says, of late, our society seems to be one of to judge and punish rather than to empathize and help.
Yeah, I think I can agree with that as well. We do have a very judgmental state of mind, especially when it comes to things like blaming the parents when the child goes missing.
Yes.
Immediately going, oh, it's the mum's fault. She shouldn't have taken her eyes off the child, remember?
The mum's fault, the government's fault, everybody's fault but our own.
But our own, yeah. Right? Yeah, we've got Lester on the line. Hi, Lester, what say you?
Hi, good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
Actually, I just want to... comment back to what just Suresh just said.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What he did was he actually go down to the street and
help people.
Help people, give the rice. Actually, I did the same thing as well through the soup kitchen thing. And then we've been feeding the poor. I went a couple of times, actually. But just today, right, I heard from the news saying that the woman ministry actually saying that this group of people is actually pampering the people on the
street. Well, there are different schools of thought. Yeah. There are different schools of thought on that issue.
Yes, there is definitely. Yeah, but also I would like to raise a question here whereby are we really do it because so that we make it ourselves feel good? Because what I'm looking at is that the food that we have distributed, it actually comes from those, you know, packagings, you talk about porridge streams, you talk about aikota, you know, talk about plastic bags. In the end, because of these people, they themselves, they don't seem to care, but it ends up like the way the food is going to be waste. The packaging is going to be discarded after they use it everywhere, you know.
Our point is the effect or the impact on the environment?
Yeah, precisely. You know, I mean, we are trying to make good for ourselves, but have we really been thoughtfully in doing things maybe a different way?
Thank you very much, Lester, for that. SJ Lau says, one of the causes, perhaps hypocrisy. Some people donate to buy peace of mind. And this is what we discussed a little earlier.
Yes. I've done it. I've done my like, Caroline. I've already retweeted and I've liked.
I've given $10.
That's enough.
To so-and-so on the street. And
Joseph Kony will stop kidnapping children and make them militants.
No more poverty.
No more. We've got Alan on the line. Hi, Alan. What say you?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Malaysia, I'm a bunch of selfish... Fella, I think
you just went straight there. Okay, why is that, Alan?
Well, a lot of time I came across when there's an ambulance coming and you see them coming from your, from your rear, and Malaysians just don't give way. I mean, I came across people who said, nah, you know, traffic jam, you know, those ambulance or police patrol car, they are trying to cut queue and avoiding traffic jam.
We are quite cynical that way, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's silly. Come on, no, guys. Malaysians, now, what if that patient in that ambulance is your relative or your family?
Yeah.
Then what are you going to do? So think about that, you know. What if that person, you know, is the closest person next to you and they're in the ambulance? If you're that person, you'll be, like, screaming through your lungs saying that, guys, you know, give way, you know, I'm in a hurry, my mom needs to go to hospital right now, so please, you know, give way, make way for me. So come on, Malaysians, don't be selfish. So when I see ambulance coming or police car coming, make way.
All right, well, thank you.
Some people might even think that, nah, you know, they're behind me, I'm driving faster than ambulance right now, so, you know, you can't keep it up, so, hey, you know, I'm in front of them, so what? No, I don't give
way. Yeah, we get your point. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ellen, for that plea.
Some messages that came in. NB says, Malaysians are compassionate. When a biker meets with an accident, most bikers stop and help. Corruption is the main cause of high rates of human trafficking, and high cost of living does not allow us to really extend help due to the cost involved. But you know, one thing that's becoming very, very clear throughout our discussion this evening, that Malaysian roads are perhaps the best indication of Malaysia's level of compassion. One final message.
Right.
That came in from RB says, selfish and apathetic. Most of us can't even flick our finger to switch on their car indicator to kindly tell everyone where they're going. You know what? Well, we may be losing our sense of compassion, I can tell you that. But one thing for sure, when on Malaysian roads, we're certainly not short of people flicking the finger.
What does it mean, ladies and gentlemen? Is it the end of the world as we know it?
Oh,
thank
dramatic.
You. Thank you so much for your texts, for your tweets, for all of your phone calls. We're wrapping up Talkback Tuesday on the evening edition with You Can't Judge a Book by the Cover, The Stripes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.